Much of the damage in Japan was caused not by the earthquake, but by the tsunami. The giant wall of water triggered by the massive quake off the coast of Japan reached shore in minutes. Tsunami warnings went out within minutes too, but even then there wasn't enough time for many to evacuate. The wave travelled so fast and the devastation was so vast. This was a huge earthquake. But there are other smaller quakes that also cause tsunamis, and for these there's been a lot of room for improvement of the warning system. Andrew Newman is a professor of geophysics at the Georgia Institute of Technology. He explained his new warning system to Living on Earth host Bruce Gellerman.
So let's talk about this rare type of earthquake. What is it?
So a tsunami earthquake is an event that creates a tsunami much larger than you expect given its magnitude. They occur on the order of, 2 to 3 times every decade. However, they are very effective at creating tsunamis. So of those tsunamis in the last 20 years that have been deadly, about 20% of those have been tsunami earthquakes. So tsunami earthquakes usually occur in the order of magnitude 7.6 to 7.8. If we have a normal earthquake in that range, we'd expect the run-up in near-coastal environments to be on the order of a meter or less. However, in the case of tsunami earthquakes, we've identified places where we've seen tsunami heights in excess of 15 to 20 meters.
So why are they so hard to detect?
Well, we still identify the earthquakes, but we do not identify their tsunami potential. These earthquakes occur more slowly than normal earthquakes, and so using traditional Richter magnitude-type methods, you'll actually come up with a smaller magnitude, first off. And second off, even if you identified the magnitude correctly, you would just assume it was a regular earthquake if you didn't use some other method like what we're doing here.
So how does your new system work?
We look at seismograms from anywhere between 50 and 200 seismometers all across the globe. From each of these seismic stations, we calculate the energy at those stations, and then we determine from that how much energy comes from the earthquake itself. And what we do is we determine not just the energy, but how long it takes for that energy to build up. But tsunami earthquakes, they rupture slowly. And because they rupture slowly, they don't send out as much seismic energy as a normal earthquake does. So what we find out is that they shake like an earthquake an order of magnitude smaller, but they rupture much longer, like an earthquake an order of magnitude greater. And so we use the ratio of that smaller energy to longer duration to uniquely identify these events.
Have you been able to use it to detect the tsunami earthquake?
Yes. So the code's been running in real time since the beginning of 2009, and it wasn't until October of last year that we actually captured one, and that was the October 25th Mentawai earthquake, or the earthquake that occurred in southern Sumatra.
That was devastating, if I recall. It killed something like hundreds of people.
Yeah, there were 400 casualties from this event. The final warning actually came out at 16 and a half minutes. However, that was using an automatic discriminant that I had set up to be actually very picky. It only picked those that were certain to be tsunami warnings. If you were to run this in real time in a tsunami warning system, you would have noticed 9 minutes after the event that this was indeed an anomalous event that looked like it was going to be a tsunami earthquake.
How long after the quake did the tsunami actually hit the coast?
So in some areas around there, particularly the Mentawai Islands, the tsunami hit very quickly, maybe on the order of 10 to 15 minutes. So for those nearby islands, actually, this system probably would not have worked. Now, there's a difference between actually what occurred in that region versus what occurs in most environments, and that is that these small islands are actually much closer to the earthquake source than they normally are for tsunami earthquakes.
So when the Japan earthquake struck, were you able to determine that it was generating a tsunami, or it didn't really matter at that point because it was so close to shore? Time was not of the essence at that point, or wasn't going to be critical.
Well, there was definitely enough time to issue a warning that there was a tsunami coming from this event, but the standard warning centers do very well with these types of earthquakes. For a magnitude 8.9 or magnitude 9 earthquake that occurs in a shallow subduction zone, you would expect a tsunami. So this was a traditional very large earthquake that creates a tsunami, and not one of these classic slow tsunami earthquakes.
How receptive have tsunami emergency preparedness organizations been to your system?
They've been very receptive, but likewise, they also need to test on these earthquakes. And because these earthquakes are rare, we actually had to wait for one to occur to give a full evaluation, and that did just occur this last year. Now, for the community in large, I would hope that all the tsunami warning systems would be better integrated with local community and governments that have large coastal areas to be able to send out those warnings to those coastal environments more rapidly.
Well, Professor Newman, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I had a good time.
Andrew Newman is a professor of geophysics at the Georgia Institute for Technology.